shooting at people with white flags. It's documented in detail. They've even shot their own people with white flags. They have settler organizations, mafia-style settler organizations, displacing unarmed women and children and families across the West Bank. Many of these are recruited to the Israeli Defense Forces. They belong in jail, but they are in the Israeli Defense Force. No one can guarantee that there are not problems. Therefore, they had to be investigated, and there has to be action taken every time something happens. But don't cut funding to people in great need. It's the worst possible response.
Jan Egeland, I want to thank you for being with us. Secretary General of the Norwegian Refugee Council, speaking to us from Oslo. I'm Amy Goodman. This is another edition of Democracy Now!
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s. And Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
Tune in to KBOO on Saturday, February 17th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. for a special live remote broadcast of Keep Alive the Dream. Keep Alive the Dream is an annual celebration of the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This year's event includes guest speakers and musical performances from the MLK All-Star Band, Eli Hardy, and more. Again, that's a special live broadcast of Keep Alive the Dream, Saturday, February 17th, from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m., here on your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Good morning, and you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. We are broadcasting live. Today is January the 29th, 2024, and it is 8:02 a.m. I am Cecil Prescott, and I welcome you. Thank you so much for being a part of our community, and thank you for joining us this day. How are you this morning at the beginning of a new week? You know, I had a few aha moments this day. Well, actually, it extended beyond this day, but I'll just share with you a few aha opportunities I had today. One was actually watching the sky as it went from dark to light, and just the colors. It was, for me, it was kind of awe-inspiring. And I, walking to the station this morning, I just stopped and looked, and, you know, people are rushing and cars are rushing and trying to get to work. But occasionally it's good to pause and just be aware of the people and things around you. And so I had an opportunity not only to look and pause at the sky and the beauty of it, but also to notice the people around me. We all are on our routes to do many different things, but I think it's important occasionally to stop, to notice, and to be grateful, and to offer your hand to others. So, okay, that's the end of our commentary for this morning. But we're looking forward to hearing from you today. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I invite you to join us and call this morning. Related to this is, I want to share with you an opportunity of a poem. Listening to the radio this morning, and some of you who are listening live might have heard Democracy Now! And the ongoing troubles throughout the world, particularly in Gaza this morning, is so difficult when there is so much despair in our community and indeed throughout the world, to stop and be inspired in awe of all those things around you and the people. But I'm reminded of a poem by Emily Dickinson, and this will serve as an introduction to a question I have, would like us all to respond to. But first, listen to Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sing the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Emily Dickinson, Hope is the Thing with Feathers. And so, a couple of queries I have for us today. What are things that elicit awe in you? For me, this morning was a painted sunrise. Yesterday was for me, I was inspired by getting down on my knees and playing with my little cousin. Those are things that inspire me awe with hope and maybe joy. But there are other things that might be awe, maybe not inspiring, but leave you in awe. What are those things that make you stop? And when there is so much challenges and troubles in our world today, where do you find strength? Where do you find strength for the struggles that you as an individual, as a community, encounter? There are moments in our lives and in our community that are opportunities of strength and hope. So even in the midst of the struggle, there are opportunities for hope. What are things that inspire you? What gives you hope? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We ask for your response and for your inspiration, all things around you. Now, I'm not sure we got the technology right now. I'll ask our great person in there. But, you know, I just stopped and I was sort of like in the middle of the street, a very busy street this morning, I'd say, I gotta take a picture. So I had to stop in the middle of the street, and I did look both ways to make sure I wouldn't get mowed down. But I had to stop and take a picture of the painted sunrise. So that gave me awe this morning. Let's hear what you have. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And good morning, caller.
Good morning, Cecil. This is Corey. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, Corey. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'll be brief. I'm from Texas, and I remember the first time I came to Pacific Northwest, I think that that's something that brought me awe. You know, this is America. We got our problems, but you know, from Port Oregon to Washington to Vancouver, B.C., in my opinion, this is probably the most beautiful place with just natural beauty. So this we caught the ferry this weekend, went to a place called Friday Harbor. And, you know, just to basically sit back and, you know, go on a hike and, you know, and then see the, you know, the different mountains. And it's just, you know, even the hikes themselves, it's just the fauna. It's everything about this part of the country that, you know, brings me peace. And I think I also get offended. Like, I've had family members come up here and, you know, they, you know, never really left Texas. And, you know, they're always there. And they come up here and they don't appreciate it the way I do. And I think that sort of upsets me. But also, like, well, cool. Like, this is something that's special to me. That's why I decided to live here. But I do, I am taken aback sometimes by people who seem to sort of, you know, you go on, you know, grow up in a place that's kind of flat or kind of industrial. You know, or even, you know, just very, very rural. And then you come to a place like this, and, you know, I've taken people to Multnomah Falls, and they're just like, huh, you know, no big deal. I'm just like, wow. Like I think there is a, yeah, and I think there's a disconnect between some individuals and nature, especially if you haven't been around it
yes.
that much. And so for me, it is, you know, like I said, I was in the military and, you know, hiking the Kahukus in Hawaii and just like, okay, this is a part of the world. You know, west of Texas, or, you know, but specifically the Pacific Northwest, that does have a lot of beauty. But I'm also thinking about, you know, the indigenous people who had this land as well. Like they, you know, were the guardians of this land, and it was taken away. So I get to appreciate that beauty, but also think about what was taken away from certain individuals.
So true, so true. And the responsibility that those of us also should be responsible, and the word you use was guardians for around the indigenous, and there's a lot of work we have to do, not only to admire and appreciate the beauty, but to be able to protect it and say, what can we do? So thank you for sharing, Corey. I appreciate it. And maybe you can share with your folks from Texas that say, yeah, it is really beautiful, and they can see it too. Thanks so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on KBOO. What are things that give you the possibility of hope? And where shall you...
You want that on there?
Yes. Hello.
Oh. Hang on. Here you go. Hang on.
Hello.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realize it was me on.
It is
yeah,
you.
I,
okay.
It is.
Yes.
No, what I was going to say is that I really struggle with the word hope, not because I'm not hopeful,
mm-hmm.
but because it's like the way that people use hope.
Ah.
You know, kind of like when people quote, it's like when people quote Martin Luther King, they'll say like, well, you know, darkness can't drive out darkness, only love can do that. Or, you know, or they talk about hope, but, you know, it's always this kind of like whimsical, syrupy, you know,
mm-hmm.
kind of like almost like a milquetoast liberal kind of thing where, you know, like hope has a lot of things like love that go into it. And I think that, if we want to be hopeful, then we can't just, I mean, there's things that inspire, like, happiness in me, but in terms of hope, like, I just, it's like, my problem is that the people, even the people who are attempting to do right are not really, most of them aren't really looking at the situation for what it is. You know, they want to believe that, like, they're just not looking at it. They're not looking at things from a historical sense. They want to just be like, well, you know, if we do this or that, it's going to be all right. You know, we can hope. But it's like, no, hope is not, people are kind of like, hope for them is an illusion.
So,
you know, it's like,
so define, for me and for you, you mentioned, rather than this syrupy, sugary sense of hope, what for you is hope? How do you define it? Or is it a term that is appropriate to use?
Hope is an active struggle. It's kind of like,
very good.
You know, it's like when it comes to hope, you got to have, I don't really care for, you know, like Catholicism, but St. Augustine said, hope has two beautiful daughters. Their names are anger and courage. Anger at the way things are and the courage to see that they do not remain the way they are. That to me is hope, because like people want to avoid the tough emotions.
Yes.
Like we often, because of the way liberals kind of stack stuff, we equate anger with hatred. But anger comes from a place of
passion, love.
Hatred,
yes,
comes from a place of fear.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
It looks the same, but it feels like it's the same, but the way it comes out is different. Like Trump supporters are, I would say that they are more hateful, whereas like leftists, you know, socialist communists are like angry.
Okay, hateful. What does that term mean? They're more hateful.
Hateful is like fear set on fire.
Okay.
Like you're scared. You know, you're like an animal backed in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like when it comes to anger, you know, it's like love set on fire. You see some problem and you cannot ignore it anymore, even if it's to the detriment of yourself.
Hey, you,
I just,
you know, I'm writing down these phrases and you are very helpful. Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, that's why I have a problem with hope, because people aren't angry.
Okay, I like that.
You know,
so anger, I like how you said it. Anger is like love set on fire. And then you contrasted it, I think, with hate, which is fear set on fire.
But we have a lot of people who try to both sides this and say that they're the same thing, but they're not. It's the wellspring from which it draws is not the same. It looks the same, like you can punch somebody out of fear or you can punch somebody out of anger, but we, you know, it's like the opposite of violence is not nonviolence. The opposite of violence is like fighting for what is right. You know, you don't stop fighting. You change the reason why you fight.
And one,
you don't take pleasure in the hurting of others. You you find hope in the preservation of a world that you may never see.
Okay.
You know,
that's
why I have a problem with a lot of folks who say hope, because there's just not a lot of people who are angry. You know, they're afraid of anger, but we can't be afraid of that emotion.
And I think that's something that we both, you know, communally and individually have to deal with, because we don't know what to do with our emotions, whether anger or you know, hate or fear. And it's a challenge for all of us. I appreciate your reflection and the things you've shared with us. And I'm going to take some time to think about these things. And I look forward to talking with you more. Thank you for being so thoughtful and helpful.
Yeah, no problem.
And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO. I am Cecil Prescott, and I invite you to join us by calling 503-231-8187. We began our discussion this morning by me sharing my observation of what I thought was the beginning of a beautiful day. And so I asked you, and some have called in, a couple have called in, to share what are things that you find hopeful or things that inspire you. Our last caller was very deliberate in saying that we need to define the words that we use. He was challenged by the word hope, because for him, I think, oftentimes hope is meaningless, maybe. And rather, he said that we have to be, and these are my words, very passionate. Anger is love set on fire, he said, and hate is fear set on fire. So what sets you on fire, if I was to continue down this reasoning, what sets you on fire? What either inspires you to struggle for the better, for what is better, or what prevents you from acting? What are things that inspire you? So, what are things that awe you? Is it the painted sunrise? Is it children playing? Is it people struggling for justice in their community? Is it people who are just taking a moment and being able to laugh in the midst of so much destruction, to stop and share a meal with someone, to be there for someone who is suffering? So I suppose, as a caller suggested, it does not necessarily have to be all sugary and sweet, but I know there's something that inspires you and allows you to find strength for the struggles you encounter. So where do you find strength for your struggles? And it might be struggles with your children. It may be struggles with your employer. It may be struggles just finding employment. What are things? Where do you find strength? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And let's hear some inspiring word from our next caller. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, it's you.
Hi there. I talked to you a week ago or so about being upstairs from Dave Dellinger in Brooklyn, remember?
Yes.
Now, I'm thinking the point I'm trying to make is, like the previous caller, about like to have hope that's kind of like wild-eyed and not really concrete about what you envision. Mm-hmm. But the point of like a resolve and conviction and determination are essential. I think that makes the difference when we think, well, we hope, la-di-da, love, peace, and good vibes. But having experienced what happened to stop the Vietnam War, having lived upstairs from Dave Dellinger in 68, I think we're kind of moving towards a kind of an idea about, no, we don't want totalitarianism. And a pretty hard call to be thinking that people back in the 30s weren't really conceiving what was coming down, like Carl Jaspers and Hannah Arendt, that was saying maybe now, not just hope, but resolve and determination and conviction about what's coming down and what we can do about it. And so I'm thinking to be optimistic in these times is not just a la-di-da, well, it's kind of okay around here for the minute or for the hour, and we're over the ice storm. But I think the bigger, wider vision, not just subjectively, but to try to put some objectivity about practicality and taking action, So I'm thinking that's where I'm coming from. I was glad to get back to you about how this might compare to 1968, where things were pretty crucial, and then the civil rights movement came in. So I mean, thinking to have hope that something good is going to be coming up, and then to take some action is kind of a follow-up. Thank you.
Thank you, and it's been very helpful. The words you had to say, resolve, conviction, and determination. Those are words that I suppose our caller associated with what was happening in the 1960s during the activism around the Vietnam War and subsequent social movements. Resolve, conviction, and determination. Practicality, taking action. So that I think what I'm hearing, what I've heard from particularly our last two callers, is that although I shared the word hope, there was some pushback because of how that word is often either used or interpreted. And what I think those callers were able to articulate in a very convincing way is that when we are motivated by, and you can fill in the word, I said hope, I think it's a question of how we are able to continue moving forward. Hope, I think, in part, is a vision we have, a vision of what can be, And as a caller said, there's a determination to make it possible. As one person said, active struggle. So what is it that allows you to maintain this struggle for justice? What are things? Is it children playing? Is it that painted sunrise? Is it gathering with other workers and celebrating your struggles, working together? What gives you hope? Are you motivated by love and however you define it? And do you resist words like love and hope because of the how it has been interpreted by society at large as being syrupy and without any substance? I think not. I think what our callers shared with us, and I hope to hear from you, is are things that empower, encourage, that allows us to continue. So, yeah, I'll hold on to the word hope. However, if that's not a good word for you, what are things that you do, that you, your community, that you recommend for your community, that gives hope, strength for the struggles? You're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And I'm Cecil Prescott. And today is the 29th of January, 2024. And we will go to our next caller. Mark has some words to share with us. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to recommend two authors, Jürgen Moltmann, who is right now a 95-year-old German theologian. Some regard him as the best, the most insightful Protestant theologian.
Theologian of Hope.
And his first book was titled Theology of Hope. He is convinced that hope is unique to human beings, and that it sets us apart from all other creation. We can go beyond everything past and present in the power of the coming, in the power of anticipation. So he's urging people to have a new mindset, a new consciousness, and to see Christianity mostly as a faith in the coming God, in an eschatological Christianity. So I strongly recommend this. And also, John Shelby Spong. I'm halfway through reading Rescuing the Bible from Fundamentalism.
Yes.
It's a dynamite book, and it can give you new insights into Paul, into the Gospels of Mark and Luke and John, and help you understand that the Bible is not inerrant, that Paul was a broken and a turbulent man who changed from being a persecutor to an apostle, a theologian, that the Bible wasn't written by eyewitnesses, that it was written maybe 40 or 50 years after the death of Jesus. So it's important for us to see the Bible as a literary creation, a human creation, and not to be depressed by verses that demean women, that insist women must be silent in church. That promote a servility toward government. We move beyond this, and people like Bishop Spong and Jürgen Moltmann can help us to rediscover faith and of course make us resilient to normalized injustice.
Excellent. I appreciate, I haven't read Moltmann in maybe 40 years. So thank you for recalling that, and also Bishop Spong, two writers, two thinkers who moved the needle a lot. Hey,
and
thank you so much.
Jürgen Moltmann also was in prison in a British prisoner of war camp.
Yes.
And it was there that he became a vibrant Christian.
Right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for those recommendations. And I encourage our readers to read Bishop Spong and Moltmann. Thank you, Mark, for your calling, and for sharing this morning. You're listening to More Talk Radio. We're speaking about resilience, what gives us hope. And we'll go to our next caller right now. Good morning, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm driving right now.
Oh, okay. Focus.
I was, listening to this conversation about, resilience and hope, and it made me think a lot about personal agency and, how it's easy to be zoomed out, and how I find resilience and hope in my daily individual practice and presence too, being able to take every moment, every interaction with the understanding that there are several different fate pathways that form from your language to the possibilities that you see in the other person. Or even in, your life in general, how you shape it. Hope exists for me, but I think hope is really more of a how am I using my tools and my power to make small realities around me exist, the realities that I want to see, which can feel disenchanting at times.
Yeah. Wow. And were there moments, or were there a moment in your life where you said, oh, yes, you know, in terms in which you affirm your in your term words, personal agency and the individual practices? What do you do, you know, and 30 seconds or less, what are the individual practices people can do to be aware of the world around them, of one another? And maybe it's different for everyone. Any thoughts you have?
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. I think, you know, my how I grew my agency was in feeling like I had none and thinking really small about, like, you know, what can I do standing in line right now to connect with myself? Like, in these inane moments where we're, you know, maybe not encouraged to connect with our bodies or to look around or connect with other people, it's really easy to, you know, go on your phone. It's really easy to, not think expansively. I don't think we're encouraged to think expansively a lot in our daily lives. But, yeah, I think it means, like, going inward, but also, like, I think working in the service industry, honestly, has been, like, one of the biggest, like, moments of presence. I'm sitting there taking your order.
Right.
And how are we engaging with each other? How are we not, like, saying what, you know, wants to be said? And, yeah, I think speaking the truth when no one else has the courage to speak it, even when it's, even in an interpersonal relationship, that is, like, the most courageous thing I think that you can do, and I think more people should feel empowered to do so in their lives.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much, and for allowing us to see that all of us, we have personal agency and individual practices which we can encounter one another in the world uniquely each day. Thank you for sharing.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And you're listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We are broadcasting on this day, the 29th of January, 2024. It's about 8:36 a.m. We've been speaking about who we are, how we encounter the world. Our last caller, she talked about hope, but they shared it in a way in which they affirm our personal agency, that we have individual practices which may differ. My practice may differ from yours, but things we do to allow us to be aware of ourselves, the world around us, that's including people and other parts of creation, being aware, and how to connect with one another. A last caller shared, I think partly in jest, but I think very accurate, that working in the service, working with the public allows them to encounter other people and challenged them and all of us. How do we encounter one another? Going back to an earlier caller, I think that we all are filled with a lot of emotion. And that caller said, is it what motivates us? Is it fear or is it love? Fear may lead us one way to one action, and love may engender another response. What are things that inspire you, that give you strength for the struggles? Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Give us a call before 9 a.m., before it gets too late, because we really want to hear what you have to say. So call early. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. I wanted to bring up a couple of things tying in with what others have said. I had a friend once I was renting a room from, but anyway, one day I was going to work and I go, have a good day. And he goes, he looks at me and he goes, and points to say, make it a good day.
Oh.
Okay, you have to do something. It's not just going to fall into your lap.
I like that.
And the other was because, yes, it is easy to feel hopeless, but I heard this on another KBOO show, I don't remember which, but it was from Africa, and the guy was saying, if you feel insignificant, that you can't do much, try going to sleep in a tent with a mosquito. If you feel small, then insignificant. Okay. But yeah, okay, so back to hope. I think hope is a little empty, like, in the sense that, well, the root word, I looked it up in the dictionary once, and the root word is hop. So it might call it a leap or a hop of faith.
Oh, hop, but, okay.
Anyhow, yeah, but I wanted to mention this too. No, because people think that love is dopey and, you know, nice, like platitude, but I think it's the most intelligent thing, okay?
Most intelligent.
You have to be smarter. In fact, this is another thing somebody called in the other day and mentioned why maybe you shouldn't be able to get into the military until you're 24 because your brain isn't completely developed yet. And the fact that if you go to college, you don't go to war. You have to be smarter to not go to war.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts and for sharing about love and your definition of love. You have to be intelligent. The most intelligent thing is love. And, you know, thank you for that. And also for...
One last thing, if I could, real quick.
Yeah, yes, go ahead.
Yeah, well, it ties in, because I'm working for a person, and they have some other folks, and they have had... But anyway, they're from Mexico, but whatever. But that doesn't bother me. And but one day, this guy came up to me, and he said, hey, don't put the brush there, put it in that dumpster. But the woman hadn't told me that, and I just went to shake his hand, and he wouldn't shake my hand, and he starts to... Well, I just realized... Before you decide to hate somebody, you might try to get to know them first.
Wow.
And it ties in with intelligence being connected with love.
Excellent.
Peace, Cecil, and all who call.
Thank you so much for your call and for sharing your insights. Yeah, before you hate someone, you might want to get to know them first. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. What are things that give you strength for this struggle? What are things that make you hopeful and maybe helpful, you know? I don't want to say pushback, but I just want to affirm, you know, the resistance to using words like hope and love. And even if it's very sugary and syrupy and meaningless, I think the intent is a desire for a world that is different, shall we say, better than we live in. And how do we experience making connection with the world around us? Not fearful, but with love. Certainly, as a caller said, with resolve and conviction, and they said determination. So, yes, love may be seen as syrupy, as sweet, as insignificant, but as our caller said, and others have said, that love is a verb. It's an action word. It's something we do, and it's something we create. And as various callers have shared today, whether it's reading books or whether it is interacting with the public, there are things that we do each day that impact the world, that reflect who we are, and maybe help us shape the world we want to live in. So what are ways in which you engage in the world that is hopeful or helpful? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And if you are listening live on Monday, the 29th of January, 2024, on KBOO, following our program at the 9 o'clock hour a.m. will be the Old Mole Variety Hour. Norm Diamond will be your host this morning, so stay tuned for that. And if you are sitting around and saying, oh, this is a community radio station, what can I do to be a part of this community to strengthen it? Well, I'll give you a small hint. Go to the website, KBOOFM, and click on the file that says donate, and you can become a member of this community and help be a part of people who are spreading hope and are helping one another. So thank you so much. So let's see what we have to do and share. And I think I'm going to do something we don't do all the time, but we're going to bring back someone who called earlier because I think they have something to add to their last comment. So let's go to that caller once more. Good morning.
I wasn't quite woken up without having had my coffee yet. I just want to add a little something. Thanks for letting me get back to you. That I'm thinking it's like really important. We kind of, all the media is beating around the bush about a genocide, and then the convention saying let's do something about it, and then all this media hype about, oh well, let's not give them food because there's 12 people out of how many thousands, and so let's like further extenuate the excruciating situation, and to be thinking, well, I hope that my car is fixed, or I hope I have cream to put in my coffee. And I'm thinking to have some kind of altruism to think about that, like Rabbi Lerner, if you want to get like the other caller did, about said something very practical in the left hand of God, the malaise in the world is people are all thinking, what's in it from them? So I'm thinking that if we're just like, you know, being hopeful about our own little small self and not recognizing the crucial, critical picture of be thinking, how can we just be la-di-da happy when all these things are going on? I think the thing that was crucial, and when I go back to the Vietnam Wars, people were seeing body bags coming in and they weren't going to take it anymore. And so what I'm saying, like, we really need to rise up and thinking, people, like, we're not happy being in with slavery, and it really took some goings on for black people to be able to have some kind of freedom at all. You know, I'm thinking that it's not enough for us to be thinking just about ourselves and what we're hoping for. It's got to be an altruistic situation. And so, I mean, I just kind of bump in with my legacy of the mystic law, Nam Myoho Renge Kyo, to be thinking we've got to really rise up and take faith and do practical things in the moment and think it's up to us not to wander and squander around. Maybe historically knowing this system is really screwed up and capitalism can gone awry and a wreck, and the neocons are really, you know, running the show, and look at what Davos is doing. So I'm thinking if we don't recognize and take action, then there's no hope.
Okay,
so
but that...
Hey, hope is action. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And for those who are listening, I'll call it, you know, toss in another name that I want us to for you to read and be familiar with. And they mentioned Rabbi Lerner, and Michael Lerner has been, you know, one of those go to people to prophets, Tikkun magazine. So in addition, you know, to Boltman and Spung, check out Michael Lerner. Hey, they've all been men. Hey, perhaps you have someone else of another gender to share. Let's go to a couple of callers, and we have, you know, a few minutes left. And thank you, next caller, for waiting. Good morning.
I believe you're speaking to me.
Yes, yes, it is you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, you said love is an action, and I think people get caught up in the word love and have a missed idea of what love is. The action of love is kindness and appreciation, and more people in this world need to think about kindness rather than niceness or any other thing in this world, because it's the act of kindness that is truth and is love.
Could you say a little bit more about, expand that kindness? What is that act of kindness?
Well, you know, the generosity, the lack of selfishness, but the selflessness of the world that we intend in.
Yes.
People always say, oh, be nice, be nice, be nice. I'm like, no, I'm not a nice person. I intend to be a kind person, but not nice, because I see too many fakeness in nice.
Okay.
People act nice, they act nice, they act nice, but then when you look at what they truly are, they are not kind. And they're not showing the love and the gratitude. And the gratitude is the love.
Okay. Gratitude is love. Thank you. Kindness and appreciation. Thank you so much for your calling and sharing with us this morning. Well, love is an action, but kindness and appreciation are things we need to do. Thank you, caller. Let's go to our next caller. Oops. Are you there? Well, try to call again. I'm sorry you had to wait. Our number's here, 503-231-8187. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and today is the 29th day of January, and the year is 2024. And we will go to our caller who has returned. Good morning. I'm so glad you called back.
Oh, hi. Good morning.
Hi.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Good morning. What a wonderful conversation. I'm getting so much inspiration from the things that people are saying. One of the things that inspires me, and going back to one of the other callers said that things, practices that I try to use, is both and thinking. And that really helps me stay focused, or rather unfocused, amid like a lot of the human contradictions that can make me feel disoriented or unhopeful.
Yeah.
Thinking about those possibilities and returning my mind to a sense that in our human contradiction, there is both hate and love in the same person, in the same body. It relates to another thing about human behavioral biology that interests me a lot, is the way that our minds and our learning processes are inherently social. So that brings me to an imagining space of all those possibilities. It brings me a big sense of responsibility too, that that I can be a change agent by engaging and trying to be a way that I want others to be towards me. So that really helps me feel prepared in life to engage. It helps me confront some sense of fear of the unknown, of what's going to happen, because people are going to help with that process inherently. Like that's how we tend towards. And if we don't help each other in that moment, you know, go back to the both and thinking, like there's always something to learn from this.
Wow. I'm just trying to take in what you shared. There was so much there. Could you say a little bit more or expand in terms of both and thinking? Because I think that's very insightful and something that people don't do.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. I'm going to think about it
okay.
for a second.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
To me, it means opening up space in my mind to hold opposing, seemingly opposing forces. Politically, that could mean like trying to answer the question of, are we sliding towards, towards fascism, or are we building a movement? Both.
Mm-hmm.
You could ask any question that is hard to decide, that has a lot, where there's a lot at stake. And I think it's like a facet of the mind to sort of, like the want to go towards a familiar story or an easy answer, and it really invites a person to look for more. Always, there's always more,
Always
so
more.
The truth is always like maybe contradictions.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me stay in dialogue with myself when I feel stuck in a place of hopelessness.
Right. And maybe you said stay in dialogue with yourself, but also stay in dialogue with that other person.
Yes.
Yeah.
Help to respect conflict.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so much for this conversation. It's been beautiful to hear about kindness and anger and love and all of the feelings.
All of the feelings. Well, thank you so much for calling and sharing this morning.
Yes. Have a good day.
You as well. Or as a caller said, not have a good day, make a good day. I'm going to try to hold on to that because we're all... I have personal agency, and it is our responsibility. However we imagine the world or area of influence, we have an impact, and we can make changes and challenges not only to ourselves but to our world around us. So in this day, in this week, there are things that will continue to wear us down and be so frustrating, and things that necessarily should make us angry, and we want to respond. It is so important to find strength in the struggle, to be able to maintain our integrity and not to morph into something else, to morph into something else that we are not. We need to remain active in our struggle, and we need to remain determined. In all things, be assured that each day is a new day, which brings new challenges and also new opportunities. In our struggles for justice in our world and for peace wherever we can make it, let us remember that each one of us are a part of the whole, that we are connected to one another. And as our last caller reminded us, that oftentimes things aren't one thing or the other, but both and. So remain focused, remain determined. And, yes, I'm going to say those four-letter words that people say, hold on to hope and hold on to love. You've been listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil Prescott. I thank for our engineer this morning in there for stepping in. And we are ending our program, and because you have been such not only listeners but participants. Stay tuned for more programming here on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and make a good day.
You're listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at kboo.fm.
Hello, I'm Eugene Rashad. Join me every Saturday from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. for the best in jazz on your community radio station, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dot.
But I dig, and I know you dig, because I got 4 requests for this thing already today.
That was KBOO volunteer disc jockey George Page. Page has been playing jazz and popular black music on KBOO for the past 12 years.
What I do to the audience I draw, hopefully, is to please them with all types of black music. Mostly what you can't hear as a rule on larger black-oriented stations in L.A. or San Francisco. I play a lot of blues and a lot of jazz. All of it's black-oriented, but it's not the cuts you're going to hear on the other jazz shows. It's not the